From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our relationship with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. Thanks for tuning in.
Joining us for the first part of the show today is Dita Seed. She's the Public Lands Senior Campaigner for the Center for Biological Diversity. Dita, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
Well, we're here today, of course, to talk about a report released by the Utah Clean Infrastructure Coalition. And we want to start by asking, what is the Clean Infrastructure Coalition?
So the Utah Clean Infrastructure Coalition is made up of a number of environmental organizations, and actually some individuals are members as well. And our purpose is to work for, as the name suggests, clean infrastructure, infrastructure that's sustainable and that doesn't harm the environment. And also in our work, we're fighting against dirty infrastructure. And as probably many of your listeners know, Utah has quite a bit of dirty infrastructure. In this time of climate crisis, it's really important that we don't spend public resources perpetuating the source of the problem.
And so you kind of follow the funds that have been distributed by Utah's Permanent Community Impact Fund by their board. So tell us how this system is supposed to work and where these types of funds are supposed to go.
Well, so under the Federal Mineral Leasing Act, states that have mineral leasing on public land receive a portion of royalties from the extraction of minerals. And each state does it a little bit differently. In Utah, the Permanent Community Impact Fund Board, or as we call it, the CIB, distributes a pretty significant chunk of that money. And the money is supposed to go to for things that alleviate the impact of mineral leasing. So things like rec centers and parks and water infrastructure projects, things that are helpful for communities and improve the quality of life in communities, these rural communities in particular. The Mineral Leasing Act does not intend for money to go toward more mineral leasing, which is unfortunately what our Utah Community Impact Fund Board has been doing. They've been funding projects that make the problem worse.
I can imagine there would be no shortage of projects as well for things like maybe improving infrastructure in these communities, for the roads and things that are impacted by the trucks and the equipment that's needed for the extraction.
Yeah, in our analysis, we found, we looked in particular at two counties, Uinta and Duchesne, and we found that over the last couple of years, over $60 million in priorities identified by those two counties for the kinds of projects that the Mineral Leasing Act intends to be funded. So these are like water infrastructure improvement projects and rec centers and things like that, you know, health and safety type investments, were not funded. Hmm. And instead, they're putting money toward things like the proposed Uinta Basin Railway, which, you know, they gave almost $29 million loan to that project. Which, you know, the railway is intended to quadruple fossil extraction from the Uinta Basin. So that's a very blatant example of misuse of Mineral Leasing Act funds. And actually, my organization is engaged in litigation over this issue right now.
So the Utah Clean Infrastructure Coalition, like you say, you put out a report which kind of outlines all of this. Where can people go to see a copy of this report?
So we have a copy on our Uinta Basin, Stop Uinta Basin Railway.com website. And the URL is just that, stopuintabasinnohrailway.com. And there's a copy of the report there. The title of the report is Utah Oil Slick, Funding Polluters Instead of Rural Communities.
Okay, and you say this report kind of went back a couple years to investigate where these funds were going?
Yes. We started where an audit that was undertaken by the Utah Legislative Auditor General's Office left off. So in 2020, there was an audit conducted of the CIB, and that audit found huge concerns that it were somewhat underplayed because it was released during the beginning of the pandemic. But the legislative auditors found problems with how Utah is spending these Mineral Leasing Act funds. And then what we did was to look at information since then. And what we found is the problem persists, that they're still misusing these funds.
And who, again, makes up the Community Impact Fund Board, the CIB?
So these are people, so these are people that are appointed by the governor, and there's a combination of elected officials from communities that are impacted by mineral leasing and state officials. Okay. And these are the individuals that are making decisions about how this money is allocated. Unfortunately, the history of this body has been that they seem to be in the pocket of the oil and gas industry. And, you know, when we researched for this report and looked at minutes and listened to tapes of meetings, you know, it's clear that they view funding things that help the industry as a good thing for them to be doing and as part of their job. And so the purpose of this report is to ring the alarm bell and to call for reform in how this happens, because as everyone knows, we're in a climate crisis, and one of the simple things that we can do to start alleviating the crisis is to stop putting public money into things that perpetuate the problem. And so, you know, we are asking, one of our recommendations is that they immediately cease funding projects that enable mineral extraction.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Dita Seed. She's the Public Lands Senior Campaigner for the Center for Biological Diversity. And today she's here to talk with us about a report recently released by the Utah Clean Infrastructure Coalition about the distribution of the public funds under their purview. You know, you mentioned that the state auditor and the attorney general as well kind of gave warnings about the way that these funds were being spent a couple of years ago. How is it that that can then sort of continue or perpetuate?
Well, unfortunately, decision-making for this is in the hands of legislative leadership and the governor. And so far, they seem to be very much in the pocket of industry. You know, another example of how they're in the pocket of industry is recent reporting on how the Utah Petroleum Association is trying to blame the terrible air quality that we have in northern Utah on pollution coming from China. This was something that was entirely pushed by the industry, and there's some excellent reporting in the Salt Lake Tribune that shows this, and the governor and the legislature just went along with it. So that the reason is corrupt politics, frankly, and it needs to stop.
What percentage of the total funding that the CIB has distributed, let's say over these past 2 years, has gone to what you would may describe as, say, legitimate, allowable projects, and then, you know, otherwise?
It's hard to, I can't give you an exact percentage, but I would say, this is just an estimate on my part. Well, I'll give you an example. So, right, they just recently, in a meeting that was held last month, said that they've received $14 million for their fund where they make grants. So they have $14 million there. A couple years ago, they gave away in a grant $27.9 million to the entity that wants to build the Uinta Basin Railway. So that gives you some sense of scale. You know, with that $28 million, they could have funded an entire year's worth, or 2 years, almost 2 years worth of projects. Of the real projects that they're, you know, the kind of projects that they're supposed to be funding.
I'm looking at the list included in the report of some of the other things that were funded. It looks like something called like the Leland Bench Road, the Ore Bottom Road. There's obviously $27.9 million to the Uinta Basin Railway, as you noted. A Bookcliffs Transportation Corridor. Are all of these, what are all of these road infrastructure projects?
So these are road infrastructure projects that are designed to help the fossil fuel industry. The Leland Bench Road is intended to help the fossil fuel industry, and associated with it is a plan to develop a private refinery in the Uinta Basin, which is a completely insane idea when you consider the air quality problems that already exist there.
Right.
The Bookcliffs Transportation Corridor, EIS, so that's a plan to develop a highway through the Bookcliffs, completely unnecessary, incredibly damaging to the environment, and intended to also help the fossil fuel industry. That's its primary purpose. And the tar sands and oil shale piece of that industry, which are particularly destructive elements. And unfortunately, that proposal has reemerged as it died briefly last year. And Grand County is the county where this highway would be placed. Is totally opposed to it, by the way. It reemerged, and they're looking now at federal infrastructure money to help fund it, in addition to community impact board funds.
All right, so your report landed on our desks, per se. Has it resonated with the governor's office or members of the legislature?
We delivered copies to legislative leaders and the governor, and have not heard anything back from them. But we are not giving up, and I would urge all of your listeners to contact their elected officials and demand reform of the CIB. And you know, the simple message is: do not spend public money on projects that enable more fossil fuel extraction and benefit private industry. And so we're intending, the Utah Clean Infrastructure Coalition is launching a campaign that will carry through the legislative session, where we're really working to engage community members in getting a hold of their legislators and calling for a halt to this irresponsible use and illegal use of Mineral Leasing Act funds. I mean, even if you don't care about the climate crisis, and I hope everyone cares about it, this is just a gross abuse of taxpayer dollars. These monies are going to private industry, and they are really, they are intended to go to publicly owned community infrastructure.
And I'm assuming there's a there's another round of funding that's going to be coming to the Community Impact Board for consideration and projects for their consideration. This is an ongoing process.
Yeah. They meet every month, and they have, three trimesters of funding, and so they're always looking at new proposals to fund. An egregious example of the misuse of funds, which isn't related to fossil fuels, is that they recently gave former state representative Mike Noel a $10 million loan at 1% interest to build the golf course in Kane County. And this is during a mega drought. This is what we're dealing with, a body that is completely irresponsible in how it allocates public money.
It Chris and I are looking at each other with wide eyes over here, and it is surprising how some of these funds can get spent, especially when there isn't sort of the public eye on it and there isn't maybe some oversight. So if people are interested in learning more about this or getting involved with the project or your work, Dita, what are the resources you recommend?
Well, if people want to be activists on this issue, they can simply send me an email at dseed@biologicaldiversity.org. They can also go to the Uinta Basin Railway site, stopuintabasinrailway.com, and there's a place where you can sign up there. And we welcome community engagement in this. This is how we are going to solve these problems, is through citizen action. And, never underestimate the power of that. It has made huge changes in our history and will continue to do so. And, I think especially for your listeners who have seen the immediate impact of wildfire, we have to solve these problems now. We can solve them. It just takes political will and community action.
Dita Seed, she is the Public Lands Senior Campaigner for the Center for Biological Diversity. Dita, thanks as always for taking the time to chat with us this morning on This Green Earth.
Thank you so much for everything that you do and helping people understand what we're facing.
All right, we'll stay in touch. We hope you enjoyed this episode of This Green Earth.
And if you did, we hope you'll take a minute to rate us, share us, and leave a comment.
You can email us your thoughts and ideas for future shows at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
Join us next week on This Green Earth.